you've got an outline there, in our introduction, in our last lesson, we began to look at the process of sin. We began to look at the process of sin. Since sin does not come from God, and of course that's the verse, one verse earlier there, verse 13, it says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." So when we sin, it doesn't come from God. So we're looking at where it comes from and what process that it takes. In our lesson last week, we looked at Roman numeral number 1. We looked at the consideration out of verse number 14. That every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And we looked at sin's internal lust and Satan's external lure. Amen. We looked at both of those. And so the consideration. Tonight, we're going to look at Roman numerals 2 and 3 here. Roman numeral number 2, let's look at the conception. Not only the consideration, but let's look at the conception, okay? Verse 15, it says there, "Then when lust hath conceived," okay? Lust hath conceived, okay? And so number one there, let's look at the mother of sin, okay? The mother of sin. Whereas Satan is the father of sin, and is he not? Amen. He certainly is. Amen. We know sin was born in his heart. Isaiah chapter 14 tells us that. Ezekiel 28 talks about how he's lifted up with pride. And so whereas Satan is the father of sin, the mother of sin is lust. Okay? The mother of sin is lust. It says here, "Then when lust hath conceived..." Okay? And it's giving us the illustration here. Okay? Satan consummates with our sin nature's internal lust, and the offspring that they produce is sin. Okay? Let me read it again. Satan consummates with our sin nature's internal lust, and the offspring that they produce is sin. And we talked about that last week in verses 14 and 15. We'll not belabor the point there, but we talked about how Satan's external lures and our internal lust are like a magnet and iron. They like being together. Amen. And that's why it talks about how the spirit and the flesh, they're contrary one to another. They war against one another. Because the spirit knows Satan for who he is, and it also knows that internal sin nature for what it is. Okay? So, here we have the mother of sin, and that of course is lust. Number two, and we'll spend a little time here looking at the method of sin. Not only the mother of sin, but the method of sin. It says, "Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin." Okay? So the method of this unholy consummation between Satan and lust is temptation. Okay? It's temptation. That's the method. Now I want you to go over, hold your place there in James, we'll come back, but go over to Genesis chapter 3. Very familiar passage of Scripture. And I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there's a reason why in the late 19th century and the early 20th century that Satan, through higher criticism, which always brings lower living, by the way, through higher criticism, put a full-on assault on the first 12 chapters of Genesis. Full-on assault. You can't believe it. It's just allegory. It's just stories. And on and on and on. And I tell you why. And it goes right to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" By the way, the answer, if you believe thus saith the Lord, and you believe that God inspired those first 12 chapters of Genesis, is yes, he did say. God said. He didn't say we weren't supposed to eat all the trees. He said there's only one we couldn't eat of, okay? So what we have here is this is the process. Here's how the method takes place. First, question. And you see there where Satan puts a question mark in verse 1. Yea, hath God said? Did God really say that? And you can hear it in when Pastor Donald and I were talking about this yesterday. We're talking about when you read the Bible, it's important that you don't just say, when you're reading the text, you say, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. No, it's important that when you get to a question mark, that your inflection has a question. Yea, hath God said? How many of you can almost hear Satan saying that? Yea, hath God said that you couldn't eat of every tree of the garden? What's he doing here? He's starting the process of temptation, and he starts it with questioning. And can I say this, ladies and gentlemen? Questioning what God said. That's how it starts. Okay? So you have a question. Then B, he says, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. You have suggestion. Not only question, but it moves from question to suggestion. God say you couldn't eat of all these trees? And then you have, after question and suggestion, in verse 4, he said, you shall not surely die. You just have plain old fabrication. That's a lie. Amen? But he starts with question, moves to suggestion. So when you've already had question and suggestion, fabrication doesn't sound that bad. Does it? Does it? No, it doesn't. Amen? How many of you, listen, you don't have to say amen to this. It's okay, I know the answer to it. How many of us have yielded to temptation? I will say amen. I have yielded to temptation in my life since I've been saved. It starts with question, moves to suggestion, then you have fabrication. D, then you have insinuation. Well, you'll be just like God's. You see, God's keeping something from you. Satan is insinuating that God is not good. And thus, if you give in to his temptation, you'll be experiencing something good. Which is not true, amen? E, we not only have question, suggestion, fabrication, insinuation, then we have consideration. What did Eve do in verse number 6? Look at it. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food. Now, I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. By the way, I think there's room for supposition as you read stories. I don't know if the serpent brought her right over to the tree, Brother Horsch. I don't know. But it says this. After you had question, after you had suggestion, fabrication, insinuation, she sat there and considered it, didn't she? Do you know why most people, they don't fall into sin. They roll down the hill headlong. Because they sit there and they mull on it and they consider it. Where the Bible says in the New Testament, flee from temptation. Flee from fornication. Amen. Flee youthful lust. Just get away. But here we have consideration, and then you have what is the last step before sin, and that's F, rationalization. Rationalization. Ladies and gentlemen, when you get to the stage of rationalizing, you have convinced yourself that you are your own God. Because you're deciding right and wrong at that point. You're not letting the Word of God do it. You're not letting the Spirit of God do it. You're rash, and I've said this for ages, and I believe it with all my heart. Once you start rationalizing, you can convince yourself that anything is okay. There are churches in our country, small c, quote unquote, churches, that not only do they fly the American flag, and they certainly wouldn't be caught dead flying the Christian flag, but they fly the rainbow flag. You know why? Because they've rationalized that God didn't really mean what he said. Amen. And it follows that process, questioning. Starts with questioning, starts with a question, ends with rationalization. Okay? It's Satan's method of sin. We have the mother of sin. We have the method of sin. Number three, we have the mortality of sin. The mortality. Look at it with me, verse 15. Then when lust hath conceived, what's the baby of Satan and lust? It bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 6:23, we know it, church, the wages of sin is death. So the fruit, on your outline, the fruit that falls off of the tree of sin is death. The fruit that falls off of the tree of sin is death. So we have the consideration, Roman numeral number one. We have the conception, Roman numeral number two. The mother of sin. The method of sin. The method of sin follows this method. Question, suggestion, fabrication, insinuation, consideration, and rationalization. And then we have the mortality of sin. So what does James do here in verse 16? It's an interesting verse. He says there, do not err, my beloved brethren. We have the consideration, the conception. We have the caution in verse 16. The caution. What's he saying here? Well, James warns. And by the way, let me just say this tonight. And I know it's a Wednesday crowd, and you folks can take it. God pity the preacher that doesn't warn. God pity the preacher that doesn't warn, that doesn't say, hey, young people, if you get alone in the back of a car, it's a bad thing. God pity the preacher that says, when you put that wicked hell water to your mouth, your liver is going to go bad. God pity the preacher that won't do that. God pity the preacher that won't stand strong, amen, and warn people. Ezekiel said he was a watchman. And God said, listen, you're to warn. And he said, and if you warn the wicked and they don't listen, then they're going to perish. But if you don't warn them, I will require thy blood at your hands. You listen to me. There's a lot of people going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. A lot of preachers are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ with blood all over their hands. Because they were too cowardly to warn people of eternity. God pity the preacher who won't preach on hell. By the way, I have to tell you, I don't like preaching on hell. I don't like it. Just the very thought of it absolutely repels me, that there is a place where sinners will go for all eternity. But it's in the Bible, folks. And listen, if we had a neighbor whose house was on fire, we would bang on that door. We would kick it in. We would call 911. We would get the hose out. We would do something, amen, to warn them of impending danger. Tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, that's each one of our jobs, by the way, to warn others. Not just my job, amen. It's every one of our jobs to do that. So he has caution here, and he warns based on three things. He warns based on, number one, the subtlety of Satan. He warns based on the subtlety of Satan. He says, listen, this is the process. This is how it goes. You be careful, because the enemy that you're fighting against, he is so subtle. And he has tripped up everyone except the Lord Jesus Christ. And you think about the different ways that he tripped different Bible characters. You know, Moses was the meekest man that ever lived. Do you know what he tripped him with? Temper. Meek men are not usually given to temper. Amen? You think about Elijah, one of the bravest prophets of them all. What do you get Elijah with? Discouragement. And go on and on. John the Baptist, who stood in Herod's face, and I told Pastor Donald the other day, we were talking, I said, other than the Lord Jesus, if there's a Bible character that I respect the most, it's John the Baptist. And he stood right in front. He said, it's not lawful for you to have her. You know what Satan got him with? Doubt. The one who baptized Jesus, I read it today in Luke chapter 7, sent messengers to say, are you really him? Listen, James warns us about the subtlety of Satan. Don't you underestimate him, ladies and gentlemen. You can't take him on by yourself. And you better be careful how you deal with him. He's not old smutty face. Listen, Michael durst not bring a railing accusation, Jude tells us, against him. Said, the Lord rebuke thee. So he warns of the subtlety of Satan. Secondly, he warns of the dynamics of deception. He warns of the dynamics of deception. How easy it is to be deceived. And we're going to look later on in the chapter, if you look just at verse number 22. He says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Verse 26, he says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. So he talks about the dynamics of deception here. He said, listen, you got to be careful. You don't want to err here, because lust, when it conceived, bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death, and you don't want to be part of that. And lastly, he warns based on the subtlety of Satan, the dynamics of deception, and lastly, the love of lives. The love of lives. He says it right in there. Do not err, my beloved brethren. I love that phrase. My beloved brethren. He said, because I love you, I've got to warn you. Because I love you. It's not because I hate you. You know, more and more and more and more, ladies and gentlemen. And some of you, praise God, you'll pass off the scene before it happens. But I really think it'll happen in my lifetime. Maybe, Brother Horsch, if God would give me your years when I'm 80 years old, that what I say up here will no longer be allowed. And you know what? Lord willing, I pray that God'll just fill me with courage and faith to say, I answer to God for warning His beloved. You know what he says there? He gives them caution. He says, listen, beware of the subtlety of Satan. Beware of the dynamics of deception. And it's because I love your lives. God forbid. Love is not just sugar. We were talking about that the other day in the office. Miss Kim and Pastor Donald and I were talking about an entire generation, almost two now, that have never been made to obey. Do you know why we have to medicate them? Because they've never been made to obey. Never. And I want to tell you something. I had a dad that loved me enough to make me obey. And he was very, very keen on education. He applied, amen, he applied the rod of correction to the seat of knowledge, amen. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about, because you had parents that loved you enough to do that. James here is spiritually applying that, isn't he? James has given some tough love. He said, listen, beware of the subtlety of Satan. Beware of the dynamics of deception. It's because I love your lives that I'm telling you this. The process of sin. Father, thank you so much for your goodness to us, Lord. We pray that you would please bless tonight. We thank you so much, God, that, Lord, you do reveal Satan's methods. Lord, and you do, as 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, Lord, with the temptation, make a way of escape that we're able to bear it.